Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
And good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, number 182 and counting. Want to welcome everyone aboard this evening, all you new listeners. I hope you enjoy the show. Invite, you know, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your friends, you know, just everybody out there. Because the more voices out there for the animals in need, the better, because they cannot speak out for themselves. We have to do it for them. So please, everyone, do your part and make this a better and safer world for the animals, because they so well deserve. They deserve their rights just like we do. And, you know, without us, they have no hope to carry on. So I just want to go over a couple things there. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio. We are moving right along. I do stand up for all the animals in need. So if you would like to be a guest on this show, please email me at voicescaringforanimals@aol.com. And just a small bio of yourself, any websites, Facebook pages or groups, videos, petitions, and you're more than welcome to come on board. There is a chat room that's open right now, and you can get to it by Blog Talk Radio. Sign up in the upper right-hand corner, and you could sign in from Facebook or Twitter, and then scroll down past the comments, and a chat room will appear. All these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio, so if you miss any of them, you can always go back and listen and share 24/7. And I'll give you that website out, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. And you'll see all the archive show there. Just press what link you want to listen to. And you can listen and share 24/7. And so everyone do your part, because these animals, they so well deserve for us to speak out for them and fight for their rights. And there's a, you know, contact your legislators. And here is a number for to contact them. You can call 24/7 after hours and weekends. You can leave a voicemail. And that number is area code 202-224-3121. It's going to ask for your zip code. Press 1 for senator and press 2 for representatives, and it will lead you right to them. You could, leave a message for them, or you can even go on find your representatives on any search engine and write them an email, call them, write them a letter. You know, every effort counts out there. It can't get no easier than help make changes, positive changes for the animals, right in the comfort of your own home, your computer, your phone, your fax, your scanner. Everything counts. So everyone, you know, spread the word, because the more voices out there for the animals, the better, and the safer a world it will become for them. Because we as human beings, we love our rights, and so do the animals. They just can't speak out for them. This show, I'm going to be taking calls. If you would like to call in a little bit later, area code 310 982-4270. Press 1, and I'll see you in the queue. And just remember to refrain from any noises in the background, televisions, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. Marty Oakley, and there's all the TS Radio Voices Care for Animals, number 1 through 163, is all archived on there. So all you have to do to find those, and a big, huge thank you to her for leading me the way, is go to blogtalkradio.com and search Voices Care for Animals, and all those will pop up. And so this is this radio station is unlimited callers, unlimited listeners, and it could listen in worldwide. And we're going to get our show started. As soon as I give a big thank you out to all you out there that's helped promoting this show, Deb Padovano, my press agency's listening tonight. Thank you, Animal Warrior Sister. Hope you're getting better out there. Prayers to you. Take action. Help ban animal gas chambers on Facebook. Please go by there, press like, and see how you can help out on them. Megan Mason and Holly Smith, Voices Care for Animal Support Group. I'm one of the admins with a bunch of other ones. Thank you all for doing your part. The Paul's Call Show, fans of animal rights, Arlene, thank you very much for your continuous support. Help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. Evelyn Pendle and Debbie Eisman, Voice for Animals, Voice for Animals on Twitter, Sean Waters, all you Facebook friends and family out there that's out there helping, sharing the show, Pin Interest followers also, and Twitter followers, and LinkedIn. Thank you all, because every effort counts out there in spreading the word on this show to escalate the crowd and broaden it and widen it, more listeners, because the more of us action takers out there that's taking part, then victories keep coming through. So I want to go ahead, and my guest is coming back tonight. His name is Stephen Ritt, and he is an owner, trainer, coordinator at Acting Dogs. He has been on Voices Care for Animals, number 124, number 151, and now 160, and now 182. Those last three are on TS Radio, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to have him on again. He is we've become good friends over the time, just like all the other guests. But I want to go ahead and introduce him, and Stephen Ritt, welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 182. How are you doing this evening? Go right ahead. You're live, Debbie, and on the air.
Hey, Debbie. Hello. I'm good. It's good to be back.
All right. I'm excited to have you back. This is great, you know, and thank you for all you're doing. But you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, refresh the audience, and how you got started. And the first thing I want to bring up is Igby. He passed away, and he's such a gorgeous pit bull. And Igby, we love you, and you're sadly missed, and you're not going to be forgotten. So go ahead, right, Stephen. You can go ahead and get started.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. You know, mentioning Igby, yeah, I recently had to euthanize that Igby, actually. He ended up getting permanent spinal damage. And so I tried all kinds of different therapies and different vets, and nothing really worked. And so it was really a hard decision. It was a hard euthanasia. And, you know, he was a rescue from the Redlands Animal Shelter in San Bernardino, California. And, of course, he stars in the short film I made, Unleashed Love, which you can see on Amazon. You just go to Amazon and you can, you know, do the little eyeglass and do the search and, you know, punch in Unleashed Love and it'll come up. It's 11.5-minute short film. And it's about the grieving and loss of a pet that a pet has when they lose a pet that they have, you know, and I wanted to show that Dogs have many of the same emotions and feelings we have. So, you know, I haven't watched it since Igby passed because I think it's just going to be too hard to see him in it for me, you know. But I encourage others to watch it if you've lost an animal because, you know, there is something uplifting at the same time about the film. And I just wanted to, you know, shine a light more on dogs and, you know, pit bulls in particular because he was a pit bull. And, you know, that's just the kind of projects I'd like to do. You know, I got other full-length animal scripts out there that I hope to get made that are also shine a brighter light on the animals and, you know, are uplifting, inspirational type stories. And yes. I actually was just a kid like many kids. You know, you asked me about how I got started. I was just a kid that loved animals just ever since I can remember. And I went to school at the Greater Phoenix Dog Training Academy when I was 17. Worked for them after I went through the school. And from there, I made my way to Hollywood and L.A. I'd never been to California, and I started working for the Weather Waxes. Peppy, quiet. I have a dog here for training, a bull terrier that has excessive barking problem and separation anxiety is why he's here for training. So they use him. He's barking in the background. And it's kind of musical dogs. I have another dog for training. And, of course, Ariel, Igby's girlfriend, the wolf, is in the house because she doesn't take the heat too well outside. And, you know, I think we're in a heat wave all through the country right now.
Oh, yeah.
So she's in here. So I'm playing musical dogs right now, switching dogs. And so forgive the noise in the background there.
I totally understand, you know, because the louder you bark, the more you're heard. That's what we got to do.
Well,
you know,
that's Peppy's philosophy anyways. And, you know, unfortunately, he learned people will respond when he gets loud. You know, it's like a baby crying. You kind of want to teach them when you're quiet, you get the attention and the love, you know. So you kind of go about curing that separation anxiety, goal-orientated behavior like that, you know. Anyways, so, yeah, I started working for the Weather Waxes who had trained all the lassies when I was 18, 19. So in the early 80s, I started doing a lot of, you know, going on sets, doing a lot of films and TV shows as second trainer with Bob Weatherwax. And, you know, I ended up getting my dog, Buck, on Married with Children, went and showed him, auditioned, and they liked him and picked him for the role of Buck on Married with Children. And so now I'm kind of, you know, I've had my health issues in the past, and I've, you know, since I've been 18, Debbie, I've had, you know, lots of animals, you know, 8, 9 dogs in the house. And then I had health problems and a lot of my dogs got old. So I'm supplying, you know, less animals for film and TV because they're just so needy emotionally. And I, you know, I was competing with companies that had 50 to 100 dogs and all kinds of looks, you know, to offer. And I just really am not a guy who likes keeping dogs in kennels. You know, they're kind of my family. So I've always been competing, you know, with just my little group of dogs, you know. So since I had the health problems and I've had so many dogs all my life, I'm kind of cutting back and just trying to get my animal films made now. And Unleashed Love, you know, was kind of a long story, but I did it with a friend of mine. Started out as a music video that I wanted to tell a story unlike other music videos and put a couple songs together. And then we didn't get the rights to a particular Pink Floyd song that my friend Joe Silva, who stars in the movie, we recorded. And it's actually a bonus song now on the soundtrack. You can also get the soundtrack, Unleashed Love soundtrack, on Amazon. And 15% of the proceeds of the film and the soundtrack go to dog rescue. So please look that up. Help our cause. Help the cause for the dog rescue. And for me, you know, it'll go a long way in helping me get my other animal films made. If you do watch the film, please give it a review. And right now we are Hughes Pictures, our distributor's highest rated, five-star rated film on Amazon. And
this
it's coming out in a collection of shorts called Love and Loss. And it'll be playing in a couple of select theaters in August, actually, along with being compiled as, over an hour collection of dramas. And it's really an honor for me because I just started out making this little animal film. I didn't know how it would be accepted, you know, without a lot of dialogue and the animals telling the story, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just part of a collection of some amazing films with some amazing actors. One of them has Olympia Dukakis in it, which is an Oscar winner. You know, she's won an Oscar. And so I'm in the company with some great films. I'm the only animal film in the collection. So I'm, you know, very happy and excited about that. And I've been doing a lot of rescue lately. And trying to get some rescue done with Sky Valencia of St. Martin's Animal Rescue. So that's been kind of interesting too. And just keep moving along, rescuing animals, helping people train their dogs. I do a lot of private training now, and I've got, you know, doing a commercial tomorrow with someone else's dog. I do use private party dogs also that have training, you know, and use their dogs for film, TV, and commercials, which is kind of nice because I don't have to keep them here all the time and take care of them, right?
Right. You sound like you've been really busy, Stephen, you know.
Oh, yeah, so. I put a lot of effort last weekend trying to rescue a little lamb. You know, so was involved in the rescue of the lamb, which ended up taking a few days and was a lot of drama and one 21-hour day overnight, all-nighter. So, you know, just doing what I can and working with the animals like I have my whole life.
That is awesome. Hey, real men, real women, and real children love animals. And
that's right.
Thank you for everything you're doing. You know, that's
tells
awesome.
You a lot about a person if they don't like animals.
Yes, it does. You know, animal lovers, you rock out there, advocates, all of us together. You know, these animals deserve to be loved and cared for. You know, we need more kindness in this world, compassion.
Oh, right. You know, individuals
sorry.
That own these pets. Or commercial farming, commercial ranching, you know, they deserve at least a decent life while they're here, a humane life. And
yes,
saw dogs become popular in the 90s all of a sudden, you know, and I've trained a lot of people who have never owned a dog until they're in their 50s even. So they became fashionable, where now it's almost like you have a lot of people getting dogs that don't even really like dogs or love them that much. It became a status symbol. It became cute to have the little, you know, doggy in your purse that fits in it, to have the pit bull for your ego. So it's, you know, you got millions of dogs out there, and you got some owners that shouldn't be owning dogs too, you know, because they deserve the love. Like you said, they deserve the love and the compassion and kindness if you're going to keep them.
That's right, because all the responsible, you know, animal owners out there, whether it's dog, cats, you know, pigs, horses, whatever, they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. You know, right when they walk into your house, and right there, that's your responsibility to make sure that they're, you know, all their needs, not only to be fed and let out to the restroom and water, but spent quality time with them because they love that. And
they're emotionally needy. They need it. They need it. They're social creatures. They're pack animals. So the attention, the love, and the interaction is a huge part of owning a dog, the responsibility of owning a dog or an animal, but especially dogs, you know, they've been really close to man for thousands of years interacting. So they're much more needy than even a lot of the other animals in that regards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become, you know, in the ancient times, dogs were held in higher esteem. You know, only royalty had them. And now it's so sad. There's so many animals and everybody has a dog. So I think people tend to take them more for granted. If they were rare and there wasn't so many, they'd be held in higher esteem.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? The pit bulls, you know, there's the pit bulls out there. They are out there. They need a chance. You know, they always get the bad rap, you know, through BSL. And that's so wrong, Stephen. It's, you know, to judge a book by its cover and say, oh, one dog bites and all the rest of them are responsible. And that's not fair. That's discrimination. It's prejudice. It's not right. It just irritates me how, you know, BSL is still, it's still happening. It should be banned because you got to blame the deed, not the breed. You know, there's such, all the pit bulls I've known my whole life through family, friends, you know, neighbors, acquaintances, they've all been loving and caring. They're gentle giants. And
Oh, yeah. You know, even Igby, if that's, you know, one of the things I wanted to show in Unleashed Love. You see him interact with different dogs, the puppy in there. And he just loved animals. He loved people. Didn't have an aggressive, mean bone in his body. I mean, he didn't even like to play tug-of-war for more than 10 seconds, okay? I mean, no prey drive, you know, so you can't stereotype. You know, dogs are just like people. There's no two dogs alike. They're all individuals, even within the same litter of purebred dogs. They all have their own unique personality characteristics. So like people, there's no two alike, even within the same breed, the same litter, which is, you know, it's really kind of a miracle in itself when you think about it, you know, how unique designed each creature and being is.
Right. It's their own individual, you know, they, and then, you know, with this, you know, dog fight, I've had several shows about dog fighting and stuff. These animals do not have a choice to go in the ring. They are forced, you know, and I wish all these animal fighters out there would turn over a new leaf and help the animals out instead of sitting there cheering them on, you know, whether it's bets or whatever. And, you know, look at how they're ripping each other's skin off and how painful this dog, these dogs are going through. And step in their feet or paws and say, you know, this is wrong. We got to do something here. Because it's, you know, from every angle, when these, you know, these dogs don't drive themselves to these fights or walk themselves. So they're forced.
Yeah.
And
it's very sad. You know, I think about like Igby or my last pit bull, Lazarus. He was actually a regular co-star with Kristen Bell in the TV show Veronica Mars. He did 2 Trace Adkins music videos and some other stuff, Grounded for Life, some other stuff. But I mean, they wouldn't stand a chance. They're such sweet animals. They wouldn't know what hit them if someone tried to fight them, you know?
Right, exactly.
They all like dogs. They were all friendly and sweet and, you know, and were just wonderful with other dogs. So it's, you know, the thought of some of these pit bulls, you know, they're made to be mean too. They have to encourage them and agitate them and develop it in them, because unlike the stereotype or people think that they're bred this way and they'll, you know, they're just aggressive, that's not true. A lot of them have to be made to be mean to fight.
Yes, agreed, right there. They're trained. They're trained to fight and they're trained to kill. And some of them, they lose their lives, you know, and there's people, you know, clapping and cheering them on and everything. I've never been to one. I'll never go to one. And I'm against it totally. Whether, you know, whoever's in it with these dog fighting rings or cock fighting rings or whatever, these animals don't stand a chance without us speaking out for them. Like when Michael Vick back in the day got busted, you know, was worldwide news. You know, it's still happening today, Stephen, and that is so wrong. It needs to be stopped.
Even though there's laws, imprisonment, right, there's always going to be people doing evil and wrong things. And, you know,
yes.
I think it goes way back. I mean, even the Romans, there was, you know, they filled the Colosseums, you know, you almost takes a certain sadisticness to want to watch, you know, human beings or animals suffer and, you know, do injury and harm to each other, you know?
Right. And even with bullfighting, I've seen, if you go on Bullfighting United or that, you ought to see what's going on there. Bull Defenders United on Facebook. Check that out. It will make it will make your stomach churn of the videos that they have and the, they're speaking up against it and the photos. It is gut wrenching. I mean, mind blowing.
Yeah.
These people are sitting there.
And it's not like I said, that's been part of the culture for, hundreds of years, it's been going on a long time. It's been going on a long time,
Whoa. I mean, it's just the pain and the torture they're going through. It needs to stop, get updated. We're in the 21st century. Find something else better to do with their time,
I can think of a lot of things. I mean, and watch animals inflicted pain on animals and suffering, right?
Right. I mean, it's like they got too much time on their hands, the wrong time to sit there and watch animals. Just, like my father, he was in the ring for 32 years wrestling. He chose that, occupation to be a professional wrestler, Chief White Owl. Okay, so.
Right. Your dad, by the way, was my favorite wrestler. I used to watch your father back in Minnesota. We'd go to the fights. And then because I've always kind of liked the whole Native American culture, and I was always the Indian when we would play cowboys and Indians, so I really loved your father, and he was one of the greats. I used to watch him, and about the same era, there was the Mad Dog Michonne, the Russian brothers.
Yes. Bobo Brazil, the Sheik, Fred Curry, yes. Bruno
Pretty
San
Boy
Martino.
Floyd.
Yeah, there's another one. There's so many of them. He wrestled for he was one of the pioneers for that got wrestling star. Look at it today, WWE, and he was part of that. And he didn't die from being in the ring. I'd never seen him come out with I look at the dog fight and it's like, wait, my father wanted to get up in the ring and wrestle. He
right.
did it.
Well, that's it. We have humans have reasoning. What consenting adults want to do is different than an animal who has no choice.
Right.
So you can't really even compare, whatever two consenting adults want to do, that's fine with me. But when you're talking, elderly who are out of it, don't know what's going on, you're talking children and animals that don't have a say-so, it really becomes quite sick and disgusting and sadistic, the stuff going on, when you involve these beings that don't have a choice.
I know. And we have to speak out for them, Stephen, because if we don't, they don't stand a chance. Like my father, he didn't die from being in the ring or anything that led to it. He was neglected in a nursing home that starved him. I mean, this is within 2 months, 62 days. And he was supposed to come home and never did. And what we can't understand, this is neglect. This is abuse that's going on. They starved him. He lost 32 pounds in 8 weeks. It didn't start like this. It escalated. And he had bed sores, stage 4, down to the bone. Both rotary caps churned where they dropped him and never notified the family until 4 days later. This dehydration, malnutrition, this is what the second nurse told him, So he died as a result back in 08. So, and it's been over 10 years, Stephen, and we're still fighting because they mandated my mother to pay 50% of the punitive damage to help improve the quality of care in nursing homes. So this doesn't make sense. It's like, whoa, you're the ones that were fought a wrongful death. This is front lines cruelty again. So I'm still fighting that, and hopefully in 2019 get these two Florida statutes repealed.
Keep going, Debbie. I feel so sorry for you and your family and your father. That's just it's such a sad story that shouldn't have to be told. You shouldn't even have to be fighting it.
I know. It's terrible. And we're in fighting, you know, from every angle out there, because he's not alone. You know, there's a lot of greed going on out there. Profit before people and profit before animals. You know, a lot of short staffing in these nursing homes that leads to abuse and neglect. You know, a lot of just with animals too. You know, they're profit before animals. They don't care what that animal goes through. It's profit. It's, you know, money in their pocket. Greed bulls.
The bottom line, money, it always seems to come to that, doesn't
yes.
it?
Oh, yes. That's what the roots of the problem usually comes to. And we can't, you know, all of us are on this earth temporarily, humans and animals. And money makes
right.
the world go round. Yes. But
right. Well, people, the true saying is money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil.
Yes, agreed, right, totally, right there. So many of them out there are mesmerized. You can't take the, you know, we got people out there, you know, just starving to death out on the streets, you know, elderly, veterans, children in America. They should be looked at first. All Americans should be priority, number one, you know, or Homeland Security, or animals, or Medicare, or Medicaid, you know, Social Security. So all of this together in America, you know, we the people of the United States of America rock this earth and once we all come together as one. Because
yes, people
of
the world, you've got to take a really deep look, deeper than what's in front of us now, how long it's really been going on, who really are the people in the power of the world, why isn't the world a more euphoric Garden of Eden? There's been certain people and families in power of the world for a long time that are very extremely wealthy into the trillions now.
Mm.
If the people at the very top were good and kind and had big hearts and wanted this world to be a better place, it already would be.
Right, exactly. I totally agree with you.
The war, we wouldn't have had the wars we had. We, you know, I don't get me going on all this, but people need to look outside the immediate picture of politics to really realize why hasn't the world, this country, been better for so many generations, actually?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there suffering on the earth? You know, why does it have to even be that way, really?
Right.
For people and the animals?
I know. And the animals need to be treated better, period. You know, there's some that's out there that get treated fairly and get their rights and living comfortable. But all animals should be living comfortably, you know, not in pain and suffering, because they suffer just like we do. You know, they go through the pain. And I've seen this. Because I've had shows on these farm animals, the pigs, it's in crates, they can't move around. You know, you got the cows, how they're treated. I mean, we got issues from every angle out there, you know, and it's sickening. We need change. And all the animal advocates out there, it's fighting every day, relentless. A big, huge shout out to you. Because I know I'm in there too, and I know how aggravating it can get. It seems like it takes forever, you know, for a victory to come through. Once it hits, you want to jump to the ceiling. But just the timing, and if they had more voices and more action takers, it would make our head spin that the changes would be so fast, you know, because once you see millions of people coming towards them politicians, things start moving. You know, I've seen
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, public outrage.
Yeah,
because a handful takes
It takes a lot of people to make change. You know, D.C. moves really slow. And, you know, but we can each do, you know, our part daily as humans, you know, and show love and kindness, compassion to other people and animals to make a difference, you know, and then all together. People on an individual level doing stuff to help the animals and the people, you know, it all adds up. You know, you can't give up the fight, even if you've been burned, even if you've been screwed by people, you know, burned. You know, you can't let it make you a non-caring person. You can't let it make you bitter.
That's right.
You got to just keep, you know, trying to, you know, project the goodness, and it has a domino effect, you know.
Right. Bringing the negative into the positive, it can be done. You know, we can't just sit there, you know, on this radio and discuss it. We have to go 1 foot in the right direction and pick up that phone or write that, you know, letter or write that email, some kind of contact. Because, you know, we vote these politicians in and we vote them out. And we want the ones that are caring for us, you know, we the people and we the animals, you know. And look forward to, you know, positive changes, because there's stuff that, I mean, issues that's running over from the 20th century, Stephen, and it's nothing being done about it, and I can't understand it. And now we're in the 21st
century.
Well,
not all of these politicians in power are voted in. I mean, there's a branch of the government called the SES with, you know, they got like 10,000 employees, and they're very powerful, and they're all appointees. So, you know, hopefully some things in government will change where it'll be given back to the people more. Where,
yes,
you know, the people will have the voice. Change can be done quicker. There won't be all the red tape to take, you know, forever to get change done, you know.
Right, because that seems to be a problem right there, you know.
It's like you with your father's case. How many years has that been going on now? I mean, my God.
Yeah, to go to court, it happened in 08, and it took 4.5 years to go to court, and they got charged with wrongful death and guilty on all charges of falsifying records. Then it's still, we're debating, you know, in dispute on the punitive damages, and that's another, what, it's been over 10 years, you know, so.
Oh, my God. And you know what, it's hard to let go. I've had my own similar thing like that. And long as it's continuing, it's hard just to kind of let go, because it's still there. It's still in the background. You're still dealing with it. And that's just really a shame. I'm sorry you're having to go through that. That's horrible.
Oh, we just need closure. And, you know, and it's like, you know, he didn't deserve that. Nobody does. And to stand up for your rights, why should anybody have to pay, you know, especially in a, you know, a wrongful death case, to help improve the quality of care in nursing homes when they're at fault? That doesn't make sense to me. And it's just, you know, an injustice. So it's just like with the animals. If we give up, we automatically lose. And when we can't do that, you know, we could just all, let's give up. You know, I hear a lot of advocates, animal advocates and elderly, they say, oh, I'm ready to give up. Nobody cares. The politicians don't care. It's all about money. You hear about all these excuses, and I tell them, we have to fight. We have to, you know, stand up for what we believe in, even if it's standing alone. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to listen. It may take some time, but somebody's going to listen. And that's what we have to do.
Yeah, you can never give up. You can't lose hope. You gotta keep fighting the good fight. And, you know, sometimes it comes when you least expect it, you know.
Yeah,
you just got to keep the hope and keep the action going, keep the hope, and it'll come. Even if it seems like you're not moving sometimes and things aren't going forward, it eventually gives if you don't give up.
That's right.
If you don't give up, the opposition gives in, right?
Right. So we have to, you know, think positive and keep going, you know, and not give up, because we know they're wrong, so we have to prove it. You know, and I can't believe it fell in the Senate. You know, passed the House of Representatives to, you know, repeal these two Florida statutes. What is it? Florida statutes 400.0238, punitive damages, and the other one 400.0239, which is the trust fund. And this money in the trust fund is supposed to help Alzheimer's and dementia patients, right? And with hydration needs and you know, pressure sores and stuff like that. There's been investigated. There's been no evidence of that. So we got an issue here. You know, it's like, what is going on? I look at this and I look at all these other issues. I look and I say, this is America. We got to keep it that way. And we got to stand up, we the people out there, and, you know, make that phone call. Because talking on this radio or, and you know, between four walls, there's not going to be no changes made. Or making comments on Facebook, how mad you are, what's going on. Contact your politicians. Even write the White House, you know. Call 202-456-1111. I've called it so many times I got it memorized. You know, so, you know, or whitehouse.gov, contact them by email. Any issue you have, because, you know, we cause the changes. We come together as one, and if there's enough of us, we're going to be rocking this earth, you know, for humans and animals. And animals can't speak out for themselves. They're innocent, just like children and elderly. They're helpless, defenseless, and voiceless. So we have to speak out for them, or they have no chance, Stephen. None, zero.
Well, especially when you consider a lot of elderly that don't have family and they're in that position.
Right.
Then, you know, those are the elderly that, you know, I really feel bad for, that change needs to be made, because they have no one to help or look after them, and they're in some government facility in their old age with no one to really care, that cares about them. So you hope everything's done on the up and up.
You know,
done right, with compassion within the system, where someone doesn't have to oversee it, that's family, you know? Because a lot
That's
of people
right.
don't have it later in life.
I know. And one thing about it, we're all going to become the elderly if God's willing, and the clock keeps ticking. You know, so it doesn't look like
right.
a bright future for us. Who's going to stand up for us? That's what my question is. You know, if we're stepping up for them, and they cannot be kicked to the curb because they've worked all their whole lives, and you hear, oh, they're going to cut Medicare, they're going to Medicaid, this and that, Social Security. No, these people, this is America. These are the Americans inside. Take care of them. You know, Alzheimer's on the rise, dementia. We never know what's in store for us, you know. My father got dementia. How do I know I'm not going to get it? You know, it's a scary thought, and another scary thought
is... scary thought. Yeah, you just hope if you're not surrounded by loved ones, you hope there's some compassionate, caring people out there, and you hope the system is half-assed, you know, to care for you, and the people involved in the system have some compassion. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. So change does have to be done to make sure that these elderly can die with respect and dignity, and have compassion, you know, around them in their care.
That's right.
Because like you said, we're all going to be there, you know, God willing, we live, you know, long enough. Although, you know, I think about it too, and I'm like, please, God, let me die, you know, like outside around nature. I don't want to be inside a facility, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's a scary thought.
It's not always
the
case, though, you know.
I know. And it's terrible, but, you know, it's a very scary thought of, you know, even leaving the generations behind us with, you know, what's going on in this world. It is not a pretty picture out there. And that's what the changes need to come in, you know. So, and with these animals, doing all these shows, I'm, you know, aware of a lot that's going on. I didn't know it was this bad. You know, I'm learning. I'm still learning on the awareness out there, because that's what we have to go with. You know, their safety, prevention, you know, this is all compassion, more of their rights coming in. Because a lot of animals out there are not getting their rights. They're getting ignored. They're getting swept under the carpet, and it's not right. You know, just like these pit bulls, you know, getting involved with this BSL. You know, one bites and all of a sudden all of them are responsible for it. And that's not
good.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, you know, some of these shelters won't even adopt them out now. Like my other pit bull, Lazarus, who played backup on Veronica Mars, I had to get special permission from that shelter, Lancaster Animal Shelter in California here, because it's their policy not to adopt out pit bulls. because I don't know if it's liability. If once they adopt it out, it bites someone, you got irresponsible owners, it gets loose, it attacks someone, that now they're liable, or it's just, hey, that's the policy because, you know, we don't want to get anyone else hurt. We don't know the dogs. But more and more pounds, it's becoming policy not to adopt out pit bulls. Or if they, if some, you know, moron who doesn't know dog behavior or isn't a trainer deems it unfit for adoption because they think it is unfit, they won't even adopt them out, you know. And you can't always judge them like when they're in that pound. It's traumatizing to most dogs, you know, so you're not really seeing their true behavior anyways.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because it's enough stress in there, so everybody, you know, if anybody's looking for a pet or, you know, furry loved ones, go to your nearest animal shelter and, you know, adopt.
Right. And realize the behavior you're witnessing they're displaying in there isn't necessarily what they're about or how they are as individuals or their real – you're not seeing their real personality a lot of times. Because it is so traumatic for them to be in there. It's a stressful situation. They're thrown from one situation to a brand new situation. And now they're surrounded by other dogs having anxiety. So don't overlook some of these dogs that look a little scared or withdrawn. You know, they can come around with some love and, you know, compassion and time and getting them out of there, you know.
Oh, yeah. And you know,
I've turned many dogs
pets.
Around, you know, I've turned many dogs around that had anxiety, were shy, fear biters. So, you know, you're not really seeing what's there all the time. So it's worth, you know, giving them a chance at least, you know, and giving it a try, you know, giving them some love, having people feed them some good treats and getting them to trust people again, you know. And it's just like people. I mean, you shouldn't give up on people real easy either, you know?
No, you can't. You just can't give up. And, Steven, you want to give out your website and also the Acting Dogs to the audience out there? And also,
sure.
Your, yes, and the I got on the Amazon, give them that too. And everybody, I did a review on there, Steven. On,
I saw that, Debbie. Thank you so much. Every review adds up.
Yeah, that's right. And I looked at the last time it was a 69 already. So everybody, you know, watch this Unleashed Love because it'll bring you up. I mean, it's about a lonely pit bull and a rescue puppy that have a wonderful life together as they find everlasting love and devotion. Even beyond the grave. And Ariel, the wolf, beautiful wolf, Stephen. Oh, my goodness. You'll see Ariel on there. And Ariel looks so friendly. It just, you know, just looking at the photos and everything. So, you know, do the
She's
party.
She's very
and
sweet.
Go ahead.
And, you know, Igby raised her. So his death was really hard on her because, actually, when I got Ariel, I kind of rescued her from the hood and offered some people money to get her. And they didn't have her around any people. So by the time she was like, I got her at 12 weeks old, she was scared of people already. Because, you know, wolves are like that. They mature a lot quicker than dogs. So, I mean, I would have to get on my hands and knees and act like a dog to get her all kissy, kissy, loving me. But she loved Igby so much. You know, she could be separated from Igby for 5 minutes and would just go nuts, whining and crying and wagging her tail, knocking everything off the tables here. Her tail would wag so hard. So she's very loving. And my next film stars a wolf. It's called The Last Wolf. I'm trying to get it made. So if there's any talented crew members, actors out there, investors, people want to produce, my next film's about a young autistic boy with Asperger's syndrome befriending a wild wolf and how they develop a remarkable friendship. It's kind of like the Black Stallion only with a wolf. So I encourage anyone that might want to be a part of that. I've got my budget together. It's taken me 4 months to get it down so cheap to try to get this thing made without a studio and just make it an indie. I'm putting in a lot of my time. I'm putting in the Wolves and Ariel's training, you know, just to get this made. And most of it's, the budget's going to the cinema equipment, high-end of cinema equipment, and, you know, high-end lenses that I need to make this look really big budget, and the drones and everything. And it's a beautiful story, and, you know, Ariel is in it. There's also a pit bull in it.
There's
a character that plays me, you know, an older, retired, kind of a semi-retired Hollywood animal trainer. So it's really a heartwarming script, and I'm really hoping to get it made soon. So if anyone wants to reach out to me and be a part of that, you have dogs, behavioral problems that need training in the LA area, dogs for film, TV, or movies, you can reach me at actingdogs@msn.com. That's actingdogs@msn.com or at fuzzywolfentertainment@gmail.com.
All right. And everybody, if you didn't have a pen or, you know, paper available, you can go back and listen to these shows because they're all archived. And that website, you want to check it out, is www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. This show will be ready to listen to like a half hour after the show ends tonight. So anything that you want to go back and listen to or, you know, share with your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, go right ahead. And the acting or www.actingdogs.com, Stephen, is the website. And you want to check out the Animal Network TV, and that's www.theanimalnetwork.tv. So everyone, you know, Steve's out there working hard, and he's, you know, getting, and once that movie comes together, Stephen, let me know. Keep me informed, and I'll get out there and help you promote it, okay?
And I really appreciate that, Debbie. I appreciate everything you do, helping me promote Unleashed Love very early on. You were one of the first people to help me get the word out there of Unleashed Love. And you've been a fan of that, and I really appreciate that. And everyone who's given the film reviews, I really, really, really appreciate that. It shows not only our distributor, but other people that there's a big demand for the old-fashioned kind of heartwarming, heartfelt animal films, which we don't see a lot of anymore like we used to.
No.
They tend to be kind of corny, you know what I mean? Kind of, you know, over the top, you know, and I'm just trying to, you know, bring back the old style kind of animal films that are meaningful, that have a take home value to them, you know, besides entertaining.
Right. Because remember back in the days, Lassie, and there's a bunch of them. I wish
Well, you have Old Yeller, Where the Red Fern Grow. There's a lot of old classics that, you know, the Black Stallion was, you know, one of my favorites, which isn't that old. You know, a lot of younger people remember that, you know, the newer Francis Ford Coppola film. And, and it just shows our connection to animals and how much animals can mean to us. And that's what's going to help the next generation be compassionate. You know, TV and film is a powerful media. I mean, that molded me to who I was. I mean, my, you know, a lot of kids have childhood heroes or want to be firemen, policemen, Superman. I love Dr. Doolittle and Tarzan because they, you know, they love the animals. They could talk to and communicate to the animals, and they could communicate to them. And that's probably why I became an animal trainer. You know, I believed it was possible, you know.
That's right. You know, open your heart. Everybody's got to just open their heart to animals. And the bond is magical. It is awesome how we can, you know, even with the pets at home, communicate with them. You know, they can't, they speak in another language, but they listen, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think it's all about, you know, compassion and teaching the next generation, our children, younger people, to show compassion by example.
Yes.
It's the best we can do. So the film for me is a powerful media. It's, you know, it's what I've done most my life now. I've been in production and I've worked with animals in production. So that's kind of where my destiny and direction's going. And, you know, I hope my films make a difference, make people think, put animals in a more positive, higher light. And at the same time, show people another side or sides to the animals, that they're just, you know, not something you throw out in the backyard. They're family. They have feelings. They have emotions that are relevant and important.
That's right.
And
they
so
all have
that's kind
heart.
Of where I come from.
Yes, and I give you a standing ovation because I love hearing when anybody speaks out for animals and shows compassion and their true feelings and love for them, the care, because that's so meaningful and heartfelt. You know, the animals have hearts just like we do. You know, they want to be loved and cared for, and they rely on us so much.
I think showing people compassion and love for animals in our actions in everyday life with the people around us and to see it in film or TV is a really powerful changing, you know, is going to create change. You know, you can reach more people, you know, that way. And, you know, that's what's going to change this earth to be a better place is young people learning compassion and caring for other people and for the animals, you know, and that's when society is going to change for the better. Because without that, you have nothing. I mean, you know, evil will keep running rampant, you know. In man's inhumanity to man and animals will keep going. It's the good people that make a difference, you know.
That's right. And you're one of them, Stephen. You know,
Debbie.
Together we can make a difference. We gotta at least try. We can't give up. You know, they said they blame society, but we are society. So there's no excuse after that. And if
when our time's up, we can look back and know we tried. You know, that we didn't not do anything. You don't want to look back on your life. You didn't try. You didn't do anything. You didn't show your fellow man or animal kindness or compassion that you would want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not only others how you want to be treated, treat the animals how you would want to be treated.
That's right. And that goes towards humans too, you know, more kindness towards each other. Kindness rocks out there, everybody. But, you know, your kindness, somebody put a big smile on their face or, you know, be a good Samaritan, whatever you can do. You know, you find a stray animal outside, you know, do something for that animal. Don't just walk by and ignore it. Make it maybe a change in life will give it happiness. That's what all animals should get is happiness and comfort and peace and love. And we hope one day we won't ever see it, but at least it can head that way to massively decrease all these problems out there instead of increasing or staying the same. And it takes all of us to do it. But, Stephen, we're down here to 2 minutes. I've really enjoyed this show again. You're such a great guest and looking forward to having you back on again. You know, thanks for everything that you do and keep it up. And, Igby, rest in peace. We love you and you'll never be forgotten. Gorgeous pit bull.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Debbie.
So we won't ever forget him, and that's why I wanted to put him on the PPJ Gazette and the Blog Talk Radio program. But everyone, all you listeners, thank you all for tuning in tonight. All you returning listeners, thanks for all your support. The new listeners, keep spreading the word, you know, to help these animals out because it's not that difficult. So next week we're going to be having Jeff Colton back, and he's going to be the guest. And he was on TS Radio before. We're going to welcome him back. And Voices Carry for Animal Advocates Radio is on every Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, unlimited listeners. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com. facebook.com/voicescaringforanimals. Everyone, you all, everyone have a great evening. Thank you again, Stephen, and we'll be in touch with you, and keep me informed about that film that's coming out so I can help you promote it. And looking forward and excited about you coming back. And thank you for everything that you're doing out there. You're a great man. All, you know, this is awesome again. So,
Debbie, thank you for having me. Thank you again for having me. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thanks
so
for everyone that
welcome.
Tuned in. I appreciate anyone who took the time to tune in and listen also. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And may God bless you all. Have a nice and peaceful evening. Good night. Bye-bye, Stephen. Stay in touch.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.